Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast is presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in another edition of the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. Ranked teams on the road giving not a lot of points. Be careful. These lines stink. Bear and I discuss. We also look to stay hot after a great week last week. And we'll get to our picks. Big Mike, happy recap. But first, also want to remind everyone to check out Bill Barnwell's podcast, The Bill Barnwell Show. You see him on SportsCenter or at SVP every Thursday night. And if you want to learn more, check out his podcast. It's awesome. Bill's awesome. The Bill Barnwell Show is awesome. Download and subscribe The Bill Barnwell Show and Stanford Steve and the Bear wherever you get your podcast.
Row the boat, Scotty Mon. Go Gophers.
I think I am right when I say this, Bear. It is week 7. Looking at some thoughts, looking at some schedules. How are you?
I'm good. It's the final week before the Big Ten gets going. It's the weekend, Saturday, October 17th. That's all I know. I don't get too wound up in this. It's week number whatever. I just know we have games this weekend. And as I said earlier on Twitter, the last time we had college football played on Saturday, October 17th, and tweeted out the link of the Michigan State Michigan game, and there were some people who were unhappy with me doing that. But, yeah, crazy. And the other thing that happened, the last time Florida State was a double-digit home underdog, we were introduced to the shirtless Florida State fan reading the book, the professor up in the stands. So a couple of red letter dates this weekend, anniversary-wise.
Male professor. Make sure you get that in there before you say the shirt.
Yes, right. Thank you. Sorry.
A lot of interesting things going on, I believe. You know, I'm pumped for tonight. We're not going to talk about it, but, you know, Coastal's playing Louisiana. You know, this will be out there. You know, God only knows what our producer's doing today, but hopefully that's out there before kickoff of that game. That's a great one to start the week. Tomorrow, Georgia State and Arkansas State, two programs that have good wins this year. And Friday, you get SMU at Tulane and BYU at Houston, both ranked teams on the road, given points. I don't know about SMU. It looked like – I haven't seen any injury reports. I probably should have
looked. Robertson's out for the years. They have some injuries. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, brutal.
God, he's like my favorite skill guy. That's a dagger.
He came back this year too. Yeah, it's
– Ah, all right. Way to start out on a good –
I'm sorry.
Shout out to the Ponies. Man, actually had that Emmanuel Sanders on the other night talking about the Ponies too. He was all fired up. All right, BYU Houston. We had Dana Holgorsen on the SV pod yesterday. Great interview. Go check that out. But this feels different. He brought up, Bear, something I hadn't contemplated at all. When we get these teams that are, you know, I think he said Tulane was in their fifth game and Houston was playing their first one. He said basically through after the first quarter, he could tell Tulane was kind of worn out and his guys were way fresher. And I said, why didn't you get the ball to number 5 more? Because that kid could go, talking about Speedy Stevenson. But I just thought it was an interesting point where he, you know, I mean, this is a guy that's been around a while, but he also had a ton of practice time. And, like, him seeing that, and then you – I mean, that really played out. What do you feel about BYU going on the road? This has to be their best test so far, right?
I think so, too. Certainly the best team that they played. It's interesting you talked about that with Dana because I was kicking – we were kicking around with Doug last week on Daily Wager about the success rate of these teams playing their first game against teams that have had multiple games. And Doug brought up a good point, and there might be something to it. Like, the reason why these teams playing their first game could be so successful is there just isn't a ton of tape on what they're going to do this year. And the opponent's kind of going in unknown about game plan and formations and haven't seen anything on the field. So everything that the first-time team is throwing at them is completely new and they're unfamiliar with it. So it kind of does give that team opening their season a bit of an edge. So, of course, I like UMass this week getting the 31 against Georgia Southern to continue that trend, right?
Shout out to UMass, one and only game, right?
Yep. So far, UMass is there, just waiting for more cancellations to get the phone call.
They must not be. Would North Dakota State pay them to play them?
Why?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. See Trey Lance again. I want to see Trey Lance play again.
I would be inclined. Like if you're saying you got to go bet the game, I'd probably take Houston. The BYU defense is good, and they're really good up front. But just think what Houston did last week, turning the ball over as much as they did, and you still win by three touchdowns. Clean up a couple of the turnovers, and that game isn't even that close. So they play a cleaner game, and then I'd be apt to lean towards taking Houston in this one.
All right. Speaking of another ranked team on the road, given points, obviously Clemson is, and given a boatload, you can have that game. I don't want anything to do with it. But this line reeks. Number 8, Cincinnati, going to the old Tulsa. I've watched Tulsa a bunch this year. Nothing flashy. I thought they did a great job against Oklahoma State. I love the way their corners played against Wallace. In that opener game, they should have won that game. That was one you had to get. And obviously they pulled the upset over UCF. But Cincinnati against Army, that was interesting. I got what I thought I was going to get from the Cincinnati defense against that Army option, which I don't think is up to their better years. I think Army talent-wise is a little down this year, as is Navy. But over-under is 44. This is kind of smelly, isn't it?
It is. I mean, Tulsa obviously has been really good, and you went down there. They're slating. There was some games last year. I mean, you beat UCF 2 years in a row. As a dog, you very easily could have beaten SMU and pulled some other games. It's a team that they were a big underdog last year against Cincinnati, held them to 24 points. I think that I agreed with you. Like, I thought this line completely stunk, and the only side in this game you could play is Tulsa, with the number being that low. And then I looked at the situation in terms of like a top 10 team on the road laying this few points. And if you go back over the last 10 years, there have been 14 top 10 teams favored by a field goal or less on the road against an unranked team. And the 14 are 10-4, both straight up and against the number. So it could be one of those things where you get a little scared off and it looks like the line stinks, but in actuality, more often than not, the team that is favored and is the better team does go on the road and take care of business. But you're right. There's something about this Tulsa team that I do like. And UCF did everything they could to help them win that game with the 18 penalties. But I think Tulsa's defense can certainly give Cincinnati a bit of trouble offensively here. And despite that trend of the top 10 teams covering, I still kind of like the Golden Hurricane in this one. Even with the backup quarterback, the fact that they were able to really shut down Oklahoma State and take Wallace out and really limit Hubbard to just a couple of big plays and doing it without Brooks, their running back on the road, their offense certainly isn't going to be as prolific as it's been in the past. So I would lean towards the home underdog here.
I'm going to go the other way. I just like what Fickell has done. You know, we talk about that trust factor all the way, you know, with the program. I know the win versus South Florida wasn't pretty. Speaking of, how is there anyone lower than South Florida in your rankings? Like, that's that product is not going well. But, hey, new coach, figure it out. He'll get it done. But they're only giving up 12 points a game. I understand the competition is not what you're looking for. You know, Cincinnati's not going to wow you with Ritter. Dokes, the running back, is, you know, he's not, you know, great statistically. Like, they're not going to wow you statistically, but I do know they're going to be ready for every situation. I don't think Tulsa is going to wow you on any facet. They lost their running back before the season to start the year. So, all things considered, we talk about every week, it feels like, how, you know, road games aren't road games here, but I don't know. Tulsa's kind of close to Texas, and did you see that crowd at A&M? I mean, there's been plenty said from the head coach of Florida about what we saw in College Station. So, you know, Tulsa's going to have some people there, I would imagine. But I would lean with Cincinnati here. I'm I'm really interested to see how this game is. Noon kickoff, ESPN2. So that's another one. Another team that fits under this rank, you know, on the road weekly, this team shouldn't be ranked. I said it about LSU last week, didn't I? Go back and get the tape, producer. What? I said LSU should not be ranked. And this week, it's Auburn. Auburn should not be ranked. Where are they? They are currently ranked, I want to say 17.
Too high.
Come on.
We hit it last week, brother.
15. They're 15 in the AP. Why do we have the AP?
I don't know how. If you're finally voting teams that aren't playing to be voted, like, how are you voting them that high?
Why can't Coastal be ranked?
The refs completely choked last week in that game, and Arkansas should have won the game. We talked about it going into the week. Arkansas played Georgia a hell of a lot tougher than Auburn did. And what Odom has done defensively has been really good. Franks has been steady at quarterback. They look like a well-coached team for the first time in a while. And there was stuff going on at Auburn. Just like offensively, they're a mess. I don't know, man. This is a very tricky number too with Auburn only laying a field goal against South Carolina.
I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't want anything to do with it, more importantly. And another line in that conference that reeks, A&M sky high off that win off of Florida. It did feel like, though, I don't know, you know, checking it all in, it felt like they upset the, like, we didn't really know how good Florida. I know they had a 4 in front of their name, but did anybody really think Florida was the 4th ranked team in the country? Well, how did that game go over with the pickers on game day?
Unfortunately, they did not come to me for my thoughts on that game after listening to the pod when we were discussing it, and I kind of said, like, why do I like A&M this week?
Yeah,
interesting game, but they didn't circle back to me on that one, nor did they circle back to me on
Red River.
On Red River. So
how'd we do? How'd these two guys do on that game? Yeah,
I think these two guys. Yeah, they did get there despite the coach's best job of not going for two and throwing on third down and making us get really upset about that. But yeah, these two got it right, and the talking heads got it wrong. But that's okay. We're not here to publicly shame on air personalities on College Game Day. That's okay.
Texas Oklahoma went is exactly as I thought it was. Unwatchable football. I don't want to watch it. People are talking about how we should have had it in bad beats this week. There was no doubt in my mind Ellinger was going to lead them down to score when they were down 7 with a minute 40 or whatever it was. There was no doubt in my mind.
0% chance Oklahoma was getting a stop.
Like, it's – I don't know. I love Ellinger, but I can't watch.
And they should have gone for two. Well, why these coaches were so excited to have the game put on the foot of a kicker.
Yeah.
And then you take a shot – for one play from the 2 or 3 yard line to win the game against gassed, terrible defenses. Why was Oklahoma kicking a field goal with my guy? Like when you're moving the ball up and down the field, like
how they settled, that was gross.
Run the ball until either it's down or it's like an extra point type distance. I didn't get it all. And then just why are you kicking extra points? Gosh almighty. Sorry.
I mean, you can make an argument those two quarterbacks are the best athletes on their team. You know? I'll take a shot with them from the 3 yard line. And I'm not a go for two guy, but in a game like that, I am. Like, let's get done with this. So the other ranked so A&M, that's kind of fishy.
Very.
I thought they would be giving more. Mississippi State couldn't have looked worse. Gave out Kentucky last week. Seeing how things didn't look right, you know, you look for an equalizer with the Mississippi State offense. Is this really what it's going to be in this conference? You know, I talked about plenty. People asked me before the season what I thought about the two hires in Mississippi and which one did I like better. I went with Ole Miss every time because, you know, Lane is a – he's been there before. The problem I worry about with Leach is that system, okay, in the Pac-12, in the Big 12, when he's got it cranked up, you're not facing any of these hybrid defensive guys that can play safety, come down, play the run and linebacker. The guys that will stay on the field, when I call them hybrid, they're not coming off the field in nickel and dime situations. They're staying on the fields downs 1 through 3. And in the SEC, they're loaded. Just look at the draft. Just look at how many guys, you know, when these guys are taken from the secondary, look where the schools are there from. So I think Mississippi State has some rearranging to do schematically. And I thought at times yesterday or last week, you know, plenty has been made about Trask and Pitts, and, you know, say what you want about Kellen Mond. I thought Spiller was the best player on the field. Guys were bouncing off of him. There was a point in that game, it was 28-17. Jimbo called timeout off of getting the kickoff and just lost his mind on the sideline. And he just gave the ball to Spiller. I want to say 7 out of 9 snaps. They went right down and scored 28-24, whole new ball game. But A&M's issue with me is the secondary. So I'm really interested to see. Costello looked really spooked last week against Kentucky. The interceptions are mounting the last 2 weeks. I think Mississippi State has talent on the perimeter. It's just a matter of figuring things out and identifying what the opposing defense is trying to do. That's a line that looks pretty easy. I'll probably take A&M in my pools and stuff like that I'm in, but I don't feel confident in it at all. I just feel like I know what I'm getting more with A&M. Does that make sense?
Total stay away game. right now for me. Like, no, nothing would surprise me in this game. A&M going down there, winning by more than a touchdown, or Mississippi State after looking so bad last week, winning the game outright on the field. As of right now, it is a total stay away game.
I can't think of a game in Starkville without thinking of my spot, Little Dewey's. Did we get a little smoking pig last week?
Oh, did we ever get a little smoking pig? Yeah, they were great. They actually dropped some off at the hotel on Friday night, and it was
come on.
Oh yeah.
You guys got it good.
It was that mustard sauce is just like IV drip, just oh, perfect.
I can't do mustard.
Got the sweep.
How about the sausage? Did you get the jalapeno cheddar sausage? That's the best.
No. We got some brisket. We got some pulled pork. We got some ribs. It was perfect.
Did you have enough napkins in the room?
I did because I had some left over from lunch.
Okay.
I did not go to the old trick. Go in the bathroom, get the hand towel, and have that. Soaped and
make your own wet
barbecue
towels.
Exactly. Did not go that route. But
there's no way you could eat that in bed either. You can't eat.
No. Oh, God, no. We sat at the
look like a desk. Crime scene.
We sat at the desk and just kind of took our time and had a little potato casserole. Had some other veg. It was good. It was terrific. So shout out to the smoking pig for hooking us up.
Love it. So that's our stinky line section of the podcast, because I think all those lines reek. Yeah, what do you have as the fourth best team in the country? Right now, that's played a game.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
I might put North Carolina there.
Over my Irish.
Over your Irish, yes.
Okay.
I think talent-wise...
There's not a lot of selections out there, I'll tell you that.
No, there isn't. It's interesting because every Sunday, Kirk and I go back and forth when he does his tweet. He's like, who am I putting it for?
Oh, so that's really you. That's really Chris Felica's top 14.
It's Kirk Herbstreit, but he always likes to bounce things off of me and kick it around to make sure he's thinking things the right way and not being ridiculous. And he
that should
Notre
be a segment on the show, Bouncing with the Bear.
he has your Irish right now at 4, and
okay.
We were discussing it, and we'll see where that goes. But you're right. Like he has like North Carolina 5 and BYU 6 right now. Like I don't know who else. Like are you really, you're really all in right now? Like Oklahoma State ranked that highly, off of a close win against Tulsa. Close win against West Virginia and playing Kansas. Like I get it. You've beaten the teams that you played, and you've done it without Spencer Sanders. So
that's my point with that.
I guess, based on what they've done, but curious to see how they fare as they start playing the big boys in the Big 12 the rest of the way.
I really like what I've seen from my Irish. Now that my Yankees are out, it's on to my Irish.
What did you think of of Booney's bullpen pitching decisions in this
prior to game five?
In game five,
I didn't have a problem.
You have a problem? Okay.
That game was going to end like that, no matter who hit the home run. That's what we're in now with baseball.
Yep.
You know,
home run or strikeout.
Exactly. It's brutal to watch. I can't stand it. Actually saw the Rays lay down a sack bunt. Loved it last night.
It was great.
Shout out to the Rays. And guess what happened? The inning snowballed and
yep.
They won.
I don't get like what's wrong with like how the Yankees built those teams from like 96 to 2001 when you got on base and you got base hits and what was wrong with that? Like what was wrong with winning all those World Series and all those games? Like, I didn't have a problem with that as opposed to seeing Giancarlo Stanton go 1-for-4 with the home run.
Yeah.
And 3 strikeouts.
It's
– but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you talk to people in the sport also, and it's just, you know, we're not these guys are so into what they're trying to do, and then you can't ask them to change what they're trying to do. I mean, that's the argument that they make when you ask them why can't guys, you know, get into situational hitting, choke up on the bat, because they never do it. All right, well, what about practicing it? Well, they don't practice it because So it's a baseball thing that's kind of gotten lost in the thing for guys like you that and I that are traditionalists. But getting back to my Irish, I
was going to have one more baseball question.
Oh, for you go ahead.
Before we talk about your Irish, would you take the Dodgers in the series right now, plus 180?
No.
You wouldn't.
No. I saw an email. We have an email going back and forth with Daily Wager for tonight. I saw your thoughts about you thinking the Dodgers' bats are going to wake up. I don't. That's a scary, scary thought for me, Bear, because in baseball, I mean, you and I have watched plenty of games. When the bats don't look right, that scares me. That really does. It gets more, fine-tune it, and I think the pitchers at that level are good enough. Here's what I will say. I don't want anything to do. I'm not saying I'm jumping on the Braves minus money. No chance. I don't want any part of the Dodgers. I don't like what I've seen. I understand they got it going, you know, late in the game last night. I had the over. Shout out to them. Seager for that 3-run homer for getting us there. But I just don't like what I've seen. Now, I mean, what do we got on Kershaw? Do you feel great giving him the ball?
I would in certain situations, but I just think if you can get plus 180 on a team that's going to be favored,
okay,
in the game.
Like, do you think they're going to be favored in every game left in that series?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they'll certainly be favored.
I see what you're saying. I didn't even think of that.
That's the thing. I mean, I get what you're saying about maybe you don't want to play it with the Braves, but there are a lot of times where I would like to just play it game by game.
Uh-huh.
And do it that way. But in a situation where if they don't win game three, they're going to be done. And you want to lay 190 or whatever it is on game three, and they lose that and you lose 190, or you just want to take plus 180. And then if they win game three, then it's a completely new series. You got Buehler going, and then we'll take it from there. So I don't know. I'd be inclined to take the Dodgers at plus money.
Okay. I'm trying to see. You know what? This is intriguing. Wow, the Astros are only plus 128 tonight?
Yeah. And it's like 1,600 or something like that for the series.
And we got Urias for – oh, wow. Urias is starting, it says, versus Kyle Wright.
He'll be fine.
What's that over? 10. Oof.
Not high enough.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, Steve.
Back to your Irish.
Yo.
I'm sorry.
I pulled up the transcripts from last week. You did question LSU and their ranking.
You're working over there. All right.
I pulled up the transcript from last week's podcast and going through searching for LSU.
Wow, you could do that?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Don't tell our listeners that you could do that.
I was going to say that's
no,
scary.
I can do it. They can.
Exactly. All right.
I have it.
Thank you. Good to see you working on that. I thought you were falling asleep over there. Sorry about that. Good job, Bucknut. What do you got? One more week. You ready to go? Did you just give me the finger?
Yeah, you're calling me out. Saying
you
I'm
just gave me
here.
The finger.
Yeah, I'm working over here trying to prove you right.
That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, but you're quite, you think I'm sleeping.
Well.
Trying to read the screen here, and yeah, I'm ready. One more week, I'm just, you know, how this goes, though, it's like until I see them in pads on Saturday, it's like,
okay,
anything can happen.
That's right.
Who do you play? Oh, you play Nebraska week one?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Our best friend during the off season.
Do you feel what do you feel about Fields versus Lawrence? Who would you rather have?
Give me Fields.
Okay.
I need to see more from Lawrence against top level, because against Ohio State,
well,
LSU,
that's going to be a while, right? Because there's not a lot of top level in that conference.
I need to see something from him.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he was terrible against
winning a national championship as a freshman
Alabama.
Isn't good enough
yeah,
for you?
Awful. I mean, terrible against Alabama.
That was a long time ago.
And terrible against Notre Dame in the playoff. Just brutal. He was awful.
Notre Dame. That's not exactly.
I think that's
second,
where we started this
good.
Whole thing. We started that's this with my Irish. Are they not? Oh, wow. I'm looking at their schedule. Bear, there is no doubt. Next week, you're gonna have the Pitt Panthers on
H2P.
Man, poor Pitt. You know what though? Wear your uniform correctly. You don't wear the all blue with the mustard helmet. You wear the mustard helmet, the blue jerseys, and the mustard pants. It's yep, that correct. Simple.
Yep.
Don't get complicated, and then you miss an extra point and you lose. But you're gonna have you're gonna have Pitt next
York's
week. You're going to have Pitt. Let's face it.
No. I don't want to go against your Irish.
I saw Coach Richt, Pitt, his bold prediction in the ACC this year was Pitt beats Notre Dame next week.
We'll have to remind him of that next week.
Yeah, make sure you hit him up. Or I think it's a good game day segment. Hey, Coach, you probably don't remember your bold prediction from the offseason, but you picked Pitt to win this game. Imagine to be like, why the hell are they calling me to have me on game day? Oh, yeah, I did do that.
More pressing, though, is what do you think of Pitt this week?
I really like Miami here. I really do, because if this is not going to be your Miami from the last 10, 15 years – then they got to show it right here. And I think they could do it. And I'm not saying, you know, obviously it's a good matchup. They're favored in this game. They should win this game. But we've seen, I mean, you know way better than me, the circumstances of a letdown spot for the U. And this would feel like a one in years past, right?
But like the thing is, like, as we said last week, like, they were going to lose. Uh-huh. And they just could not let the result of that game kind of dictate and spiral the season. Like, remember that there was that stretch where they played Florida State and they either were undefeated or had a loss and people thought they were on the cusp of having a successful season, and that they'd lose to Florida State in gutting fashion and then they wouldn't win a game the rest of the year. But I think obviously the Brevin Jordan injury – his status,
yeah.
The way he came off the field, I haven't seen anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should look a little further, do a little bit more research, but I can't imagine he's going to be playing. But at the same time, like, I feel pretty confident still. I think this is a situation where they can get the job done. I mean, Pitt's defense the last couple of weeks has not played to the level that a lot of people thought that it would, including me. I mean, Dracovic. I mean, BC just throws the ball every play.
Oh,
but it's like
– I had our researchers look it up because we work Saturday night. They're averaging close to 50 attempts a game, which is just obscene when you think of Boston College, you know, just a general perception.
So I think the Miami offense will have some success moving the ball on them. And I don't know. Pitt's offense leaves a lot to be – desired as well. So I actually feel pretty confident that Miami will bounce back here, get the win. And again, playing them as a favorite has never been a situation that you've wanted to do in recent years. I mean, they really struggled coming into this year, but covered comfortably against UAB. blew out Florida State as double digit favorite. So this might be a spot where we can now expect Miami to take care of the average teams or the teams more on their level that they're supposed to take care of.
I would feel a lot better if this was a night game. The one thing that tricks me here is Miami noon kickoff on ACC Network. I like the U playing at night. It doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. Right. It's not going to be this raucous atmosphere anyway, and it's probably going to be hotter and humider, if humider is a word.
That's definitely not a word. No way.
So I just made it up.
Maybe the humidor.
Go into the humidor and get a cigar to nice celebrate stogie. The win.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like a pit at noon in mid-October in Miami. Yeah, that'd still be pretty steamy down there. I can speak from experience on that from a couple of weeks ago at noon Eastern on a Saturday, how humid it is. So
I have a Brevin Jordan update. Manny Diaz said he's questionable to play Saturday. There's still time to see how he progresses.
Wow. You are working today, Buck.
This is good.
You know what I think? I think he learned how to do quick research from you looking up that Duke stat last week. That's what I think it is.
I was just so motivated by Bear's ability to do that on the fly. I need to step my game up.
There we go. Speaking of stepping up.
Speaking of Duke, by the way. How about that?
I thought I was going to see them on the board Saturday.
Yeah, I thought. As I said, I wish I had more spots on the board because I couldn't put A&M up there and I couldn't put Oklahoma up there. I had the other ones, but yeah, how about Syracuse now, a home dog to
Liberty.
To Liberty.
And I saw somebody tell me the roof's leaking at the Carrier Dome.
Isn't the roof brand new?
Brand new roof.
Remember last year, Liberty went to Sunge and they were a big favorite, and our boy Nunzio wound up taking care of them. State University of New Jersey.
Yep.
Beat Liberty by double digits. So I don't know. Maybe the Cues can pull an upset. But gosh, what a team in disarray. Cisco's ops out. DeVito hurt. Offensive line so bad. It's a bad bunch right now. Certainly, maybe Syracuse is the right side, but I sure as hell couldn't back them right now. That's for sure.
Was that his first start that year in 2017 against Miami when they upset him?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And then I'm looking at the scores. They haven't scored a touchdown in the last two meetings. Pitt. They've gone eight straight quarters without a touchdown against Miami.
Yeah, because last year was, 16-12, late touchdown, right? Four field goals. And
yeah. They had 24-3 the year before.
Yeah, they I think they had like 10 yards in that game. That was a complete annihilation defensively.
Yeah, you gotta think Miami has the advantage in the kicking game also. God, I felt bad for Pitt last week. That was brutal.
I didn't. I had BC.
No, good for you. Good for you. Noon. I'm just looking at other noon slates.
Speaking of BC, I'm just going on like Vegas rotation order here, and I see right above Pitt. You're talking about lines that stink. Isn't BC going to be like the everybody's upset pick of the week, underdog with fleas? Like Virginia Tech, who hasn't had a full team yet, just gave up like 900 yards to North Carolina. Isn't the world going to be on BC this week as a double-digit underdog?
I've watched BC. It's just so weird watching them. But yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, with the points there, going on the road, quarterback has been playing well. Virginia Tech, on the other hand, I mean, I think I was away from the TV for like maybe 25, 30 minutes. And I came back and saw that Carolina Virginia Tech score. I'm like, is this right? How the hell did they get back in the game? And I guess it was score onside, score three and out, score. Was that right?
Yeah, I didn't
that was
see
nuts it.
I was watching Florida A&M.
Got it.
I didn't know. Once I saw Carolina up big, I stopped hitting the back button on the remote.
That was pretty good for a game day to get that info though, because I went over to my site and clicked Carolina when I heard about the guys out.
And
Mac didn't even know.
Well, I felt good to be able to give Mac that information. That's why on Friday, when I tweet out, like, why is this Virginia, why is the Virginia Tech North Carolina line dropping? Like, I didn't get it because I liked Carolina in the game.
Yeah.
And then, like, guys, Chris and Andrews and John Murray, like, oh, no, it's they have respected players on Virginia Tech driving the number down. I don't know. I'm like, do I want to be going against, like, respected players or not? And once we got wind about Virginia Tech secondary being out, I was like, yeah, that might be let me mosey on over to a site and Carolina at least money line just in case, you know, I mean, you're gonna lay like 140 or whatever, 145 as opposed to just laying the three. But that was interesting. I didn't get that move, and the money turned out to be bad.
All right, I got an over for the people at noon. You ready?
Okay.
Navy at our East Carolina, no quarter. The over's 59. I like this over. ECU gets on the board last week with a win against that wretched South Florida team that we talked about previously. Navy back, maybe a little
undefeated in the AAC.
Yeah, up and coming, at, you know, after that crazy win against Temple. That was the line I didn't want anything to do with last week.
Everyone loved Temple. Everyone
yeah, loved Temple. And I just didn't want anything to do with it. But, in you know, I don't think East Carolina has a great defense. I don't think Navy has a good defense. And the way this goes back is you want to give up the ball. You know, you want to beat Navy. You should probably throw the ball against them. You know, and then – East Carolina, we saw UCF manhandle them. Other teams have gone at that. Georgia State attacked them pretty well. So I just feel like the defenses are not the strength of either of these teams. So let's go over 59 in a noon game. It's not a Big 12 over. I understand that. I'm sorry for that. But we're going to go over 59 here with the middies at East Carolina. Hopefully get the day started with a nice W there.
Yeah, hopefully not a lot of stops in that game, and just as a, we never want to root against a specific team, but hopefully our guy, Holton Ellis can get a W.
Looked good last week. I like it. They got some guys. I like their skill guys, and also at noon, it is a Big 12 game, but we got to take
the only Big 12 game.
We have to take West Virginia just because. That's all I'm gonna say. All right.
The blind bet against Kansas streak continues.
Yep. Notre Dame 230. Louisville, I expect a lot of points in that game. We talked about my Irish. LSU, Florida, that's still on the table. Oh, UCF and Memphis. I like UCF here. I had SMU a couple weeks back against I had SMU against Memphis as a dog, and I think they ended up actually going off as a favorite in that game.
I think you're right. If not a pick, it was close.
Yeah. Money I like UCF here. I just think Memphis is not, you know, the Mike Norvell Memphis. I think they're a little down this year, and I think UCF's going to come out hot. I mean, they were not great against Tulsa. Week off, I expect them to be a lot more crisp, a lot more sharp. Love both quarterbacks in this matchup. Brady White's a guy on Memphis too. I still don't think he gets talked about enough. But I'm going to take UCF. It is one of those things. I mean, UCF, I think, deserves to be ranked more than some of these other teams, just if we're going to go off base.
I would think so. I would think so too. You know? Talent-wise, yeah. I would agree. I mean, they had a meltdown. They blew a big lead and had a bunch of penalties, and they've had a week off since then. I agree with you. UCF, I think, would be the side I would go to here.
Yeah,
they've kind of gotten in Memphis's head a little bit too. Like Memphis has had an opportunity to beat them.
Yeah,
a few times in the last couple of years, and hasn't been able to finish the deal. So, yeah, I agree with you. I would I'd lean towards UCF here too.
Anything you're definitely thinking is going to be on the board Saturday?
I kind of like Virginia Tech, just because okay. I think they're going to get more guys back, and I think BC is going to be a very trendy underdog, and you know how I like going against those trendy dogs that the people seem to flock towards. One of those lines that like looks like it doesn't make sense. Now people start comparing scores to like, mm-hmm. Oh, BC only lost to North Carolina on this, and they had a 2-point conversion, and North Carolina blew out Virginia Tech, and BC beat Duke by more than Virginia Tech did. You start doing like the comparative scores with like going multiple layers, and I don't know. I think that Virginia Tech offense is pretty good. And, while like I said, we like BC. We had BC over for the season win total here. I think this is one of those games where Virginia Tech shows up. And it, like after that game last week, even Fuente kind of hinted at it, like where we were able to kind of get through the first couple of weeks because we were better than the teams we were playing. This week was it's hard field to play in teams of this caliber with missing guys. I think at some point here, Virginia Tech's going to be a team that a lot of people thought they would be before the year.
Okay.
I think they put up a lot of points this week.
All right. I'm also looking at North Texas just because I don't think Middle Tennessee should be giving points to anybody. That has not been a good sight this year for the boys from Murfreesboro. And another night game for Charlotte. I've watched a little FIU, and man, the quarterback play has not been good. I don't want to say stale, but I just feel like these two programs are going, you know, Charlotte seems like a little bit more on the uptick with a young and up and coming coach. FIU just feels like it's plateauing a little bit as a program. The numbers are not great. Charlotte's been 5-1 against the spread in the last six games, 4-0 in their last four conference games against the spread, and FIU's 1-5 ATS in their last six conference games. So we're going to go with the old 49ers there from Charlotte. That's the 8 o'clock kick on ESPNU. We probably should talk about the biggest game of the day, huh?
Southern Miss UTEP.
That is out and oh, that's on ESPN2, 7:30.
Yep.
That is – I do like what UTEP's doing with the uniforms. I like that. They hung around last week with La Tech. Shout out to the boys from UTEP, El Paso. 96 Sun Bowl. Took care of Coach Saban back in the day. Man, that was an experience being in El Paso for a week. Oof. But
you
seriously.
Can you elaborate on that?
I'll just say this. That was back when they allowed the teams, or I shouldn't say allowed. They drove you over the border to Juarez. They do not allow
that
you
was
over
nice.
There
That was nice anymore. Of them to do that.
It was. You got to celebrate New Year's twice because of the time change. An hour behind. Went back. New Year's Day is my birthday. So that was a all-timer. Coach Saban, 31, 38 nothing or 31 nothing? I forget. We punched it.
I think it was 38, I think.
Big Flozell Adams didn't want any part of playing that day. But seriously, what do you think gives as when you look at the Alabama defense versus Georgia offense and Georgia defense versus Alabama offense?
I think it's interesting because if you look at the SEC championship game, you look at the national championship game, and you've got Alabama, leading for less than 2 minutes in those games combined. I don't know. The number six, and I have those numbers about Alabama, is this small of a favorite on their home field under Saban, yeah. And how they've either been outright losses or non-cover in the last seven times. They've been favored by less than a touchdown, and how they've either lost or not covered. Like, it makes sense because these are teams that are closer to the talent level of Alabama. And yes, it's true that this is not a dual threat type of explosive quarterback that typically gives Alabama problems, but was Bo Nix last year as a true freshman like that dynamic of a quarterback? Was Jake Fromm that dynamic of a quarterback to give Alabama trouble? Like, I don't know. I think you got an Alabama defense that is last in the country in terms of getting teams off the field and three and out. I think this is a game where Cook should be back for Georgia. So I think Georgia can move the ball and stay on the field and keep that Alabama offense off the field and go there and win. I mean, the numbers stand, what's it, six right now or six and a half? But I would certainly be inclined to take Georgia in this game. But
you
remember, because I would.
Okay.
And I would even look at the under as well in this game, because I think if you look at what I was talking about with like the number of possessions that I think Georgia will be able to have and control the ball and limit the number of points that Alabama can score, it's just the MO for Kirby. And yeah, he's got Monken now as coordinator, but I don't think teams are going to. Not the Tennessee game, but you saw the Auburn game against a top 10 team that was considered at the time. You go back since the start of last year, all five games that Georgia's played against top 10 teams have gone under. And like the last 13, 10 of them have gone under. So I think that is a very. It's a trend, but it's like a game style, a game management type trend for when Georgia gets in these types of games is what Kirby is comfortable doing. Now, look, Alabama's offense has been great. Mac Jones has been awesome. They played the worst defense in the country last week in Ole Miss, and the Missouri win is good. Alabama, and they played A&M, who we talked about before. You worry about their secondary as well. It's been super efficient, but this is going to be a different test on Saturday, and whether Georgia can win the game outright, it remains to be seen. If they can finally close the deal against Alabama, it remains to be seen. Remember, it was that like blackout game where Cochran had that comment about they're wearing black because it's their funeral or whatever we said, and that game kind of announced the start of the Saban era, like the arrival of Alabama back into college football. Like if Georgia were to go there and win this week, this kind of would be like the, I wonder if it like is not closing the chapter, closing the door, but you factor in losing to LSU last year at home, losing to Auburn, not going to the SEC championship game, not going to the playoff, and now you lose to another top five team, top 10 team on your home field. That might seem to like, okay, yeah, they're talented and yeah, they're still Alabama, but it's not an automatic anymore for this team. So there are a lot of other stories, I think, within this game, just off the field as opposed to on the field, that certainly bear watching on Saturday. I can't wait to watch this one Saturday night.
Okay. I'll give you a little, the under's 9-1 in the last 10 Georgia conference games. So that's you're on the right side of that one, no doubt. Because I still think, it started with Tua. Everybody was, that one year they had, Alabama in the over, Alabama at first half, Alabama over first half. Like it's been this trend the last couple of years of Alabama. For me, this game comes down to Alabama's defense, and to make Georgia one dimensional, to make them. Not submit, but just to keep them under their, under their reign. Like I think about the freshman Will Anderson, who's a pass rusher. He's going to be way more of a factor against a standstill quarterback, which Bennett is to me. We mentioned, everybody, the guys that are back for Alabama's defense, those guys get to dig their heels in and just be able to play football. They're not worried about getting out formationed like is doing. We think they have a better sense of what's offensively. And, there is a lot on Monken here. No matter what, looked at as play calling and gameplay is going to be magnified. Let's just say that. So, I talk about the trust thing all the time. You mentioned Mac Jones. Is it that easy? He looked great when he came in against Auburn last year, the Michigan Bowl game. You mentioned the defenses this year. It's not going to be that easy. They just have an unbelievable sense to still get by you and throw over the top of your defense. And that's going to be, I know that's what is keeping Kirby up at night all this week. So I think I would lean to give the points with Bama just because I didn't really like what I saw. I thought Tennessee kind of gave Georgia the game last week. I wanted to see more. I know the second half was I mean,
because we
had a text thing going back with you and I, Brad Edwards, and you know, Brad was talking about the spot for Georgia, and he nailed that dead on how Georgia was going to come out in the first half. They just I hated going for that the touchdown at the end of the first half. I couldn't stand that. But I thought Georgia would come out a lot more polished on offense. They got there in the second half, but I'm just you can't come out like that this week. There's no way.
At the same time, that was more Georgia keeping Tennessee in the game than anything. A ridiculous snap that just goes into the end zone and you gift him 7 points and you two goal to goes and you come up short. Like Tennessee, I mean, there was a point in the game where like it was like a 200-yard total difference, and like the Vols had like 150 yards and 8 first downs in the fourth quarter. That was more like Georgia just kind of making mistakes and keeping Tennessee in the game than it was anything Tennessee did.
I get you, Bear, but like we talk about Kirby in-game coaching all the time. Like that stuff to me, like right before the first half, just kick the field goal. I don't get. Well, I mean, same thing. I'm totally in the minority on this one. Sunday night, Mike Zimmer, kick the field goal, go up 8. What's wrong with being up 8 points?
That was entirely different. I get why he wanted to go for it, but still, 8 points, you're making them go for a 2-point conversion and getting it.
Yes,
I agree with you there. But I think what you just hit on with Kirby, I think that was something that I hit on as well. Like, I think he saw the way the game was going, and I think he realized that Tennessee wasn't scoring unless we helped them score. He's like, and if we score before the half, great. We'll we get the ball to start the second half, and we were doing like I think it proved to be correct. Like, I don't think he felt threatened, even if they didn't get in there. I think he felt confident that Tennessee wasn't moving the ball. A couple of long pass plays, kids made a great catch and throw. But really, Tennessee did nothing offensively, I think, to really strike the fear into Kirby, like where if they didn't make it, he was like, oh, no, now we're in trouble.
Understand. I look at it, he's getting he feels a little bit threatened, and that's why he's going for it. So, it's really, really interesting to see how he coaches this week, man. The in-game stuff with him this week is fascinating to me. What do you think the guys on the desk are feeling? Anybody talking about this game?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Everybody kind of keeping to themselves, it feels like, huh?
They I'm sure. I don't want to say I'm sure on anything, but
get that. Let's make a T-shirt on that one.
Here's gonna be my guess.
Okay.
Dez will pick Alabama.
Yep.
David will pick Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think he's gonna err on the side of doesn't want to be seen as a Georgia homer. My guess is he's going to take Alabama. I think Lee will take Alabama, and Kirk will take Georgia. That's my guess.
Wow. Okay. All right. Good to know. Well, inside info.
We'll see how those.
Hey, producer, if you're still awake, let's mark this down, and then we'll come back and correct this next week. This is good. This is really good.
We'll see how those logos line up on the
absolutely
on the set on Saturday morning.
I like this. This is good. See how well the researcher knows his talent.
Trying to get into the psychology of those guys on the set.
I think we have a weekly feature now. Bear absolutely picks the game before them.
This is good. This is really good.
Bear predicts Dez Kirk
the and desk.
Kirk and Lee and David's predictions for the game.
Love it. Anything else we should be getting to? Because I have one question on the way out for you that I discussed with Mr. Van Pelt yesterday. And I want to get your thoughts on it.
Shoot, fire away.
I do want to mention you can have the Ole Miss-Arkansas game. God only knows what's going to happen in that game. Shout out to both those programs for
I feel bad for Arkansas, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's – woo pig. I don't want to see their defense against Olane there. That's really interesting to me. But as far as picking that game, I don't want any
part. Oh, they'll give up – they'll give up 38 points.
Yeah, you think?
Ole Miss is going to score on everybody.
Okay. All right. So yesterday, Van Pelt had a homework assignment for me, and I had to come up with things I just don't get. And we got into a couple things. But the thing I don't get as far as college football, and it's really – I've just been thinking about it a lot this year and seeing what happened. When everyone talks about the best jobs in the sport, why is Texas at the top of the list when they have played in two title games in like 50 years? Is it just because of the funding and recruiting base? That's it?
I think so. I would think that's probably it. You're talking about, and the fact that, because it was always viewed as just like, it was viewed as a great job when Mac first took it in 98 or whatever it was.
Was it when John Makovic took it?
Well, actually, I mean, Coach Mack had them in the Sugar Bowl in 92, right, against Virginia Tech. Is that the or am I thinking?
Druckenmiller?
I'm 95. I'm off.
That's Druckenmiller, right?
Yeah, right. It was Druckenmiller.
Yeah, I mean, I just like I feel. Do you consider that a better job than LSU?
No.
No, I mean, is it a better job than Oklahoma?
No.
It's not a better job than Ohio State?
No.
Is it a better job than USC?
No.
Is it a better job than Oregon?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a better job than Michigan?
No.
Is it a better job than Penn State?
Yes, because Penn State is so hard.
Yes.
What do you mean?
The recruiting base, the recruiting area is a lot. The pool of players that you're choosing from in the Northeast immediately there, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Jersey. There aren't as many players there, and you're always going to be behind Ohio State and Michigan in the conference, even if you're better than Michigan, which they are.
Okay.
Whereas Texas, you're going to be behind Oklahoma, and that's it.
So it's not a top five job?
No.
All right. Absolutely. I don't want to hear this, that it's a top five job in the sport. Like, I just don't believe that. I never did. And I don't know. Like, when I start to really think about it, I don't believe it is. And if it was, they would have a lot more success because of the coaches that they've had, you know? Like, that's what I'm saying is, I mean, I get it's a coveted job, but it's not a top five job in the sport.
It's coveted because you got newer facilities and you got money and you got the recruiting base, but you also haven't had a whole lot of those lately. Yeah, I was gonna say a lot of schools with a lot of money and new facilities and a great recruiting base that have had a lot more success than they have lately.
All right. Well, I got that cleared up. Does that make sense, Bucknut, to you? You with me there?
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
It's funny, though, that Texas was, like, the controller over this, like, conference expansion, and now we're talking about where they are and the pecking
order. I don't get it all. Yeah. I don't get that at all either.
That goes back to my argument, I think, because it's just – I don't believe in it. All right, Barrett, you're headed to T-Town. What do we got? Have you had Archibald's?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
All right.
Much better than Dreamland. Not even close.
Oh, yeah, Dreamland's too commercial.
Dreamland is the
hype. I'm worried that it's a lot like one of our favorite Peppies. It's gotten too big, and the authenticity of it is gone.
Yeah, I can see that. At the same time, though, I mean, there's still nothing like a Frank Pepe White Clam. It's just
from Worcester Street into
it. You don't have to tell Steve; he's missing it badly.
Bro,
bear. Oh, he's it's missing bear. It badly, is he?
Oh, he's bear. Hurting, Bear.
Bear, it's bad down here. It is.
I'm sure.
It's bad. It's really bad.
I'm sorry to hear that. Like, that's like when I'm probably gonna get like hate mail from Missouri now. Like when people got all like wound up about like, oh, you got to go to Shakespeare's Pizza. Like,
stop.
I'm like,
stop.
Yeah, it was fine, but I mean, look at me and look at where I grew up. And it kind of tells you. I mean, I am an openly, admittedly, pizza snob.
Oh, Bear, it is slim pickings. I'm thinking about giving it up because I'm tired of trying. I got one more place to try, and I think I might be calling it quits. So just looking for my Roseland from Derby, Connecticut. Can't believe I'm missing Derby, Connecticut, which is our arch rival. I can't believe I just said that, but I am missing Derby.
When are you headed back up here? When are you going to make a weekend trip?
TBD. Tough. We're working on weekends, you know?
That's true. At the same time, it's like it's only what, like, I made that a drive from Annapolis back to Farmington in less than five. I mean, if you just get that urge,
we just need to get some
trip out of it.
We need to get some pizzas delivered to our boy. That's all we need.
Hey, I got the Lyman Orchards donuts yesterday.
How were they?
Oh my God, incredible! My middle daughter had three and asked for a fourth because she couldn't tell how she liked them after taking three.
Well played. That's a smart girl.
Three wasn't enough.
She's like, I'm not sure how I feel how they taste. Can I have one more? I said, you learned from the best. So they were. We got it. We got the delivery over to the Van Pelt estate, and there was pictures sent back of just absolute destruction from his kitchen table of the donuts. It's just there is nothing like it. We've actually gone to two orchards down here. And they've attempted to make the cider donuts and donut holes like Lyman
Orchard. There's no way he had just three. I can tell you that.
Oh no, there wasn't. His thing was gone, gone.
Yeah, that had no chance.
He's a special eater. I will tell you that. All right, time for the Big Mike Happy Recap, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000. Download the DraftKings app and enter code Steve at signup. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I think I'm giving out five picks this week. You do what you want. I am going to go Charlotte -7, West Virginia -22, North Texas +7, the over in ECU Navy is 59, and UCF. -3. Those are my five. I'm giving out five. 6-0 the last 2 weeks. It's all coming to a crashing halt.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
Not being selected. Not being selected, but that's okay. Mm. I agree with you on UCF. I see 3.5. So I guess
okay.
We'll have to make it 3.5. It's going to wait on Georgia Bama. Virginia Tech, I'd take it 11.5, but if it goes much higher, and I'm basically reading that game as like I think the number is going to come down and people are going to be on BC.
Okay.
But if it goes higher than 11.5, I'm probably going to be more lukewarm on it. I do like I'm done with Tulane, so yeah. I can't give Tulane even though I like them.
Uh huh.
I like Tulsa too. I do like Tulsa.
Okay. I'm really interested to see that game. Really am. Because if they win convincingly, and I know this doesn't mean anything, you can make their case to be top five team, Cincinnati. With the teams that have played. Okay. With the teams that have played. There you have it. I'm glad we did the stinky lines because there's plenty of them this week. I think that's your MO. Maybe that's
tread
a segment.
Carefully.
Maybe that's the C's. Maybe the C's Saturday morning. Stinky lines.
No, whatever the segment with Pat is, whether it's the C's or the D's, I haven't seen the rundown yet. Usually it's the C's or the D's.
All right. Think he's going to give out West Virginia? I think he is.
No. No, I don't think. Hey, you know what? They are playing Kansas.
Exactly. Right. That's he's been – Right. Oh, he yeah. and I have had a couple of the same – we've been on the same things this year.
Yeah, he
I've
might.
Been watching.
Yeah, he might give out Kansas.
After the Big Ten plays, we're going to do a top five every week, me and you.
Sure.
All right.
I'd love to.
Let's get Cincinnati in there after 2 weeks. all right. Have a good week. Say hi to everybody down in T-Town. Travel safe. You've been in some interesting places, so I want you to stay safe, Bear.
We're perfect on the season, so we're gonna look to extend the streak another week.
All right, take us away.
Looking forward to a nice cheeseburger and some uptown shrimp from five bar this weekend. And remember, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.